We're going to talk about GP services being put under pressure by the latest announcements in the budget for free care for both 6 and 7 year olds. But first, this morning, we have to talk about the jitters that the government appeared to be having over the lifting of restrictions next week. And joining us on that is Dr. Michael Kelleher, Lahinch GP and committee member of the IMO. Good morning to you, Michael.
Good morning, Alan.
Thanks very much for joining us. So 2,066 cases reported yesterday. The number of cases have increased by 43% over the past week. The government says now it wants to press ahead, Simon Coveney says, with easing most restrictions, but they can't ignore science, and NPHET will be meeting on Monday to decide whether to give the go-ahead for measures to ease on Friday week. I suppose some people will be wondering, Michael, you know, how can we have the highest vaccination rate in the world, but also the highest incidence rate in Europe?
Well, from a GP perspective, we know COVID's not gone. It has never gone away. The numbers are rising. And Delta variant is highly infectious, probably 5 times at least more transmissible than the earlier Alpha variants. And while our vaccine campaign has been a major success, we still need to maintain the public health measures, the essential measures, the social distancing, the mask wearing and the hand washing. Our decisions in the coming days about easing restrictions will probably be dictated by the numbers and by the evidence. So it's possible they may have to adjust the forecast for the easing of restrictions.
Yeah, I was listening to another GP and he was saying he couldn't particularly point to any particular reason for the spike, but he was seeing a mixture of younger and older people presenting, household settings accounting for most incidents that he was seeing, and social distancing wasn't being obeyed in the local area, including in shops. That's probably the case around the country that has contributed to this number of cases and that 43% rise over the past week?
Most likely, yes, because it's all down to the public health measures. We still need the social distancing, we still need the mask wearing. There's still a percentage of the population who are not vaccinated, and the condition is easily transmissible. The good news is that the vaccines, those who are vaccinated, are at much less risk of picking up the disease, but they can still get it. Vaccination is not a guarantee of immunity. However, if you do contract it, having been vaccinated, it's much less likely to have a severe impact upon you. You're less likely to wind up in hospital. You're less likely to die from the condition. However, you can catch it. So we still need to be vigilant.
You mentioned a number of people aren't vaccinated yet, but are many more likely to get vaccinated, Michael, do you think? But there's always going to be a certain percentage of the population that just for various reasons won't get vaccinated and that just have to deal with that fact.
I think that's the case, Alan, and I suppose that's one of the reasons why there is now an impetus to vaccinate, give a third COVID shot to the medically vulnerable. Right now, that's the over 80s and over 65s in care facilities. These are people where the vaccine benefit may wane after a period of some 6 months. Also, medically vulnerable people, a small group but a very important group of people who may be very severely impacted by COVID. It's possible that the third dose may expand to other members of the community. This is the vulnerable people that we just mentioned are the ones who are most likely to be impacted severely by COVID and in turn place a considerable strain on an already strained health service.
Do you think any delay, if indeed there is a delay to our so-called version of Freedom Day on the 22nd of October, do you think that would be justified, that there's a need for that? You know, some people have been saying, look, this is part of living with COVID and we should just get on with it.
Well, we're going to be living with COVID for quite some time. That said, I think if the numbers spike very significantly until such time as they have the medically vulnerable that we just mentioned protected, it may make sense to delay October 22nd deadline. But that will be determined by the evidence in the coming days.
What have presentations been like in your area, Michael? Are you seeing many positive cases turning up at your practice?
Not so much turning up in the practice, but we're aware of patients of the practice being COVID detected. That those numbers have risen quite significantly in the last 3 to 4 weeks, and we're aware of new cases on a daily basis.
You mentioned the third dose and the rolling out of the booster program to more cohorts and age cohorts. How crucial do you think that would be to the lifting of the restrictions?
I think it would be very helpful. I think we should also mention, while we're on the subject of vaccination, the importance of the flu vaccine this year. It's vitally important that as many people as possible, but particularly vulnerable groups, are vaccinated against influenza, because that will we can protect against that. We have very effective vaccines for influenza as well, and we do not want a scenario where if we do get a flu epidemic in addition to the pandemic, that would create very serious issues for Ireland.
I've heard suggestion that the lifting of restrictions should continue as planned, and that really the government's focus should remain on mitigating the risks.
That may be an argument. I think certainly we should continue with the public health measures. We've spoken about them already. Mm. Distancing, mask wearing and hand washing. They work, and we should continue to do them. And again, vaccinate the vulnerable.
Okay, we'll move on because, of course, we have you on to talk about one of the measures which was announced, Michael, in the budget, as you know, earlier in the week, which was free GP care being extended to children aged 6 and 7. The Public Expenditure Minister, Michael McGrath, said the intention is to extend free care eventually to all children up to the age of 12. However, Tuesday's announcement contained no details as to when the extension of free medical care for children in this age cohort will begin. According to the Irish Medical Organisation, it will be a struggle for GPs to offer these same-day appointments or allow new patients to be added to their client list due to changes in the budget. It would also appear that no time frame or details on plans to provide free GP care to children aged 6 and 7 have been given to GPs. So we're wondering whether this will cause headaches for GPs. And Michael, the fact that A, it was announced in the budget, and also there were no details of when this extension of free medical care for children in this age group would begin, I would imagine is causing a lot of consternation amongst your colleagues. Are you of a similar mind?
Well, it is a cause of concern. Extension of the service to under-8s, or indeed any cohort, the under-8 decision is a political decision. It's not driven by health planning or health planners. And wherever you increase demand, you have to increase capacity to meet that demand. And that's the central issue with any extension in eligibility to the health service. We have a very significant capacity problem as things stand within the health service, and especially so on GP, which would be my area of interest. The GP capacity has a capacity problem. We've known this for years. The GP numbers, the core contract holder numbers, are static, and increased demand increases workload. But the reason for that rise in demand, they're all very basic reasons. We have a rising population in Ireland. We now have almost 5 million in the Republic. And we have an ageing population, over 65s, double in less than 20 years, over 85s, treble. And these groups necessarily will have complex care needs, and that in turn puts an increased demand on the health service and in the GP service. The GP service is at the core of our health service, and efficient care is delivered from general practice in the community. But capacity and time are finite. So to deliver safe care, we're going to have to increase capacity. So there will be an urgent need to do that. There is a concern also now that we will be competing with other jurisdictions, concerned that we may be training some of our healthcare professionals for export. We see this week concept of Fortress Australia, with a massive recruitment drive to recruit healthcare workers and professionals to Australia. There are solutions to that. General practitioners require 10 years to train, and it's going to take the best part of a decade to turn around the issues that we have. But there are solutions that we can focus upon to enhance the service, grow the capacity to meet the demand.
The Irish College of General Practitioners polled doctors recently on, you know, whether they were taking on new patients or not. Over 60% said no, that they were already full to capacity or beyond. They reckon up to 700 GPs will be retiring in the next 5 years, and they're already seeing delays to getting appointments, and in some places people losing access to a local GP. Do you have a waiting list to join your practice, Michael, or is your waiting list even still open?
We don't operate a waiting list. We still, where we have capacity, we will take patients. You are correct in mentioning the ageing GP workforce. 28% of GPs are over 60. That's at least 700 GPs in that group. And it's going to take time to reverse that. So,
Is that a bit of a perfect storm then? You're saying it takes 10 years to train up a GP, and we are going to have 700 retiring in the next 5 years. We've got now the situation with the free care for 6 and 7 year olds. It seems like a bit of a perfect storm.
It's going to be very difficult over the next few years, Alan, because the numbers of practitioners are limited. However, there are solutions. They will be... The IMO is focusing on making the service more attractive to new entrants. That's going to involve training more doctors, but also lifting some of the barriers to entry from some of our doctors from overseas, so we can recruit people into the service in the short term while we train up our own doctors. The contracts that are there for general practitioners are 50 years old, and they're not family friendly, and that's led to a recruitment crisis over the last decade. And also FEMPI cuts caused major problems in recruiting to general practice. So the contract needs reform, and it needs the new contract or amended contract. We need to encourage grouping of services: better locum cover, better illness cover, better maternity leave, better out-of-hours commitments for doctors, to make it family-friendly. 50% of our GP graduates are female, and both they and their male colleagues now require family-friendly contracts. There are measures that can be put in place to ease the recruitment issues, but they will take time. So yes, there'll be an acute shortage over the next year or two.
Are you aware, Michael, of other GPs in Clare having pretty lengthy waiting lists to register, or who have even had to close their waiting lists?
I think a lot of practices are close to capacity, Alan, and practices tend to prioritise their lists for existing patients, existing family members. And it is very difficult when they have reached capacity. There is a safe number of patients that one can see in a day. Most doctors that I know are working long hours, and those practices that have closed their lists simply do not have the capacity to take further patients on at this time.
And with that in mind, Michael, are you or any other GPs you know in Clare finding it very, very difficult to provide same-day appointments to patients?
Same-day service is a difficulty. We tend to prioritise what would be urgent care, and where traditionally same-day service was always possible in general practice, the demand on the service has now reached such a point that you would hope to produce timely care and service within a reasonable time span, but that might be a couple of days rather than same day.
Do you think people will end up missing out on critical and vital medical care because of appointments being clogged up by those available to avail of free visits to their GP?
Well, whenever a service is free, it always triggers increased demand, and the figures support that down through the years. you do try to triage demand as to what is medically urgent and needs prompt attention, or issues that are important and require attention. And certain things can reasonably wait a certain amount of time, not an indefinite amount of time. We have nothing like the waiting list in general practice that the hospital sector has. Most general practice can meet demand within a matter of days.
Michael, the Public Expenditure Minister, Michael McGrath, said that the intention is eventually to extend this free care to all children up to the age of 12. But, I mean, we're hearing the consternation that is being caused amongst GPs with this free care extended to 6- and 7-year-olds. Do you think there will be representations from the likes of the IMO and the ICGP to the government, to Minister McGrath, to try and hold off on this extension to 12-year-olds or put it off for as long as possible, given that the situation with the 6- and 7-year-olds is already creating a major headache?
Well, it's already a political decision to extend it, so that's unlikely to change. The IMO is committed to negotiating any aspect of contract change, and that will occur in the coming year. What the IMO will be seeking for patients and the practitioners who deliver the service is support for new entrants to doctors who want to establish in practice. We need more GPs, and we need to encourage viable career structures for younger doctors. Also, we'll need solutions that can be brought in quickly in a timely manner. We need increased practice nursing support. A lot of chronic care is delivered from our practice nurse colleagues within the practices. We need increased administrative support. Probably need to incentivize capital expenditure for infrastructure and possibly healthcare assistance. A well-supported GP service is key to the effective community-focused health service. You cannot do it with any other service. It's the only viable solution to an ever-expanding healthcare need. So if you expand the service, you have to expand capacity, and that will be an urgent consideration in the coming negotiations.
Okay, we have to leave it there. But thanks so much for your time, Michael. Appreciate you joining us on the show.
Welcome, Alan.
That's Dr. Michael Kelleher, a GP in Lahinch and an IMO committee member.